Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Palmarum Sunday, and you don't really need to know Latin at all to figure out what Palmarum could be referring to. It's Palm Sunday. It is a day that traditionally is somewhat of a linchpin. As we have entered Passiontide last week, today we have entered the most holiest of weeks. In fact, today is the day that starts the week in which we probably have more services than we do throughout the rest of the weeks of the year. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this year, I'll be doing live devotions through Facebook. Thursday, we'll have service. Friday, we'll provide two opportunities. Saturday, another. And Easter Sunday, another two. It is the holiest of weeks. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the Queen of all feasts. And if you have been fasting during Lent, you will truly understand what it is to feast that day. Yes, today is a day of tension, because it's a day of joy. We entered today singing of Christ's entry into Jerusalem. It had been prophesied by the prophet Zechariah. It's our Old Testament lesson. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Matthew writes basically those exact words into his gospel lesson as God gave it to him, so that we, the children of God, might see that all of the prophecies of the Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. God, who took on flesh to come into our lives, to come into our world for a very specific purpose. Today starts as a day of joy, but there is that tension. And that tension is because while there are a multitude of people throwing palm branches down and their cloaks down, yelling out the words, Hosanna to the Son of David, that is, save us now, O Messiah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Words that we will borrow in our Sanctus. There's another group of people in Jerusalem as well. And that group is plotting Jesus' death. They have sought his destruction. Turn after turn, they looked for ways to destroy him, the Gospels say. So this tension is real. Yes, we have joy today, but we also remember the plot to put him to death. And that's exactly why Jesus is riding into Jerusalem in the first place. Only 5 days later, they will nail him to a cross. Palm Sunday traditionally is the day in which the gospel reading of Matthew, the passion narrative, two full chapters, would be read as a part of the service. And while we're not doing that today, I encourage you to read that when you go home, to remember and to start your week off remembering why we have this week. Yes, we have joy today. At second service, we will remember some youth in our congregation who will be joining us at the Lord's table. One of them will be baptized along with her brother, and then they will be confirmed. What a joy it is when children hear and receive the word of God and then receive him with their own lips. And so today, Palm Sunday, is a day where we rejoice, but a day where we, like Christ, are looking forward. This is a holy week. Christ has a plan for it. And so we will journey with him this week. From his entry today to Jerusalem, the city that he loved, the city that just before he took that donkey, he wept over because they would deny him, they would reject him, and then God would destroy that city in AD 70. But now Jesus is riding in to his death. On Thursday, he would institute his supper, a meal that he would tell them to do often in remembrance of him, a meal that the Christian church celebrates each and every Lord's Day and beckons her children to come here each week to receive the life-giving body and blood of Jesus Christ for nourishment and for the forgiveness of sins. And then directly after that meal, he would go out into the garden to pray. Even Jesus needed to pray. He is fully God, and yet he needed to pray. How much more do we need prayer in our lives? Let us follow his example. Let us pray to our Father, not just together here on Sunday mornings, but each and every day, crying out to the Father who hears you and answers you because he loves you. He would go into that garden and pray. And then his betrayer, whom he loved too, would come out and he would be arrested. He would be dragged, willingly dragged, because he knew what he must do. He would be beaten, chastised, whipped, all for us, all a part of the Father's plan to redeem each and every one of his people. That was Friday, 5 days after a large group cried out, "Save us." Little did they know that in this act, in the deception of some of the others in Jerusalem, Jesus would be doing exactly that. He would be saving us from our sins, and not just for a time, but for eternity. So here we have this group, and they strew palm branches down as the prophecies would declare. They shout out their joy of who Jesus is, of what he has come to do. St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Crucifixion is not a happy death. It is not humane as we try to make the death penalty today. It is excruciating. It takes your breath away, literally. And in that pain, and in the weight of the sins of the whole world, Jesus cried out from Psalm 22. Words that will be chanted here on Maundy Thursday as the altar is stripped as tradition holds. Words that say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" Jesus cries these words. Words of a song that he has known his whole existence. Words that he himself gave to David, the psalmist. My God, why have you forsaken me?" On the cross, the Father turned his back on his Son. Our sin was so great that the Father had to turn away from it. Why have you forsaken me? And if ever in your own life you feel as if God has forsaken you, if ever you feel like you are going through something so terrible that no one can help you and understand, pray. Don't look to the world. Don't look to a world who will ridicule you, as the psalmist also writes. Don't look to a world who now likes to put out Nike shoes with drops of human blood in them to Satan. That's a real thing. That's a world that needs to be judged, a world that will be judged. Do not look to this world. Look instead to the cross. The cross is your comfort. The empty tomb is your joy. Because next Sunday, when we gather here again, we will have the full joy of the celebration of the resurrection of this Jesus. This Jesus that from now on, every time his name is proclaimed, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him. For on the last day, all will know Jesus. Those who confessed him in their lives will have him for eternity. And those who rejected them in their lives he will reject for eternity. And so this week, take time to pray each and every day. Take time to be in God's Word each and every day. And as time allows, I encourage you to try to make each of those services that we have here this week so that you can get the full depth and breadth of the story of Jesus Christ, the God-man who took your sins upon himself that you might have salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And so the church sings, Lord, when we fall or go astray, absolve and lift us up, we pray, and through the sacrament increase our faith till we depart in peace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.